We're just seconds away from a remarkable conversation about employees who are engaged in their work. Employees who believe in the jobs they're doing, but more importantly, in the direction of the company they work for. And what all of that means to the bottom line. Come along for a conversation with Ned Flynn from Arion HR. It could very well change your perception of where profit comes from. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International. When it comes to the skills necessary to succeed, it's not technical, but it is the ability to communicate effectively and lead with passion. And that's what Taro teaches. Learn more at TERO.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa. And Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have climbed aboard again today. We are in the office of Ned Flynn, and he is with Arion HR. And I just want you to strap in, because why do I know this? Because we spent the past 30 minutes talking about what we're going to talk about, which is really stunning stuff. Ned, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here, sir.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be back.
You know, wow. End of the year. I mean, we're clicking down through 2018, about to start a new year. This is a time of the year when lots of folks are doing performance evaluations or taking a look at their planning for next year. Here at Arion, what do you guys think about that?
You know, first of all, Mike, I'm going to step back. So I'm feeling intimidated today. You know, I mean, everyone, you're such a nice guy, and, you know, everyone thinks you're so nice. But, you know, you come in today and you tell me about a conversation you had at the lunch with the CEO from the Broadmoor and how he's changing people's lives.
Yeah.
And then for, you know, the last week, you've been telling me how well Melissa did in her
conversation
interview a couple of months ago, and how you replayed it, and she's gotten record results.
It was crazy.
And so I feel like I've got to up my game.
Yeah, well,
you know,
you better bring it today.
So, Michael, you said, hey, you know, it's the end of the year. What are people talking about? And, you know, this is a time of the year for performance evaluations.
Seems to be.
And so, and just kind of thinking about how we would talk about it. And again, I felt like I needed to say more than, yeah, you should do them once a year. And, you know, right? So, I don't know, I think we've got something that, you know, it's really kind of what we practice here at Arion HR. And, of course, you know, our former CEO, Joel Duncan, his phrase was eat your own dog food. So, you know, we would, you know, what we practice here as an organization, we're also consulting for our clients. So, you know, I think we've got an interesting approach to this conversation today. But maybe just, you know, performance evaluations in the, you know, kind of the way they've been done for years and years.
Sure.
Is, you know, you kind of, beginning of the year, you say, hey, these are our goals. And then you set some goals for some folks. And then at the end of the year, 12 months later, you have like 20 questions you answer and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how did you do? And then, you know, give it to the employee, right?
Sure, that's pretty standard.
You know, and I think that process has, I don't know, maybe just not as relevant anymore. I mean, I think, and we talked about it, I mean,
well, look how rapidly changing business is.
Exactly. I mean, I think we started the morning out talking about how your business has changed, how our business has changed here recently, and it literally is month to month, week to week sometimes.
So if you're saying, to boil that down, if you're setting goals and objectives on January 1 or December 15th or whatever the day is for the entire next year, that may not work. Those goals and objectives may not be relevant by March.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things happen. You know, one is that's absolutely the case that, you know, the priorities of the organization may change. That goal may no longer align with what the organization, you know, is trying to accomplish. But two, it kind of ignores the idea that, you know, something came up in the middle of the year that's probably a higher priority and you may not have accomplished that goal, but this other one was more important at the end of the day. So I think that's, I mean, business is just changing so quickly.
It is. And it's happening on all stratas. I mean, small business, nonprofits. I mean, nonprofits, for example, are seeing their mission statement challenged in many, many times because something new and different and better comes around. I mean, we see this constantly. So, all right, if we can buy into the idea that setting annualized goals and objectives and then doing these evaluations based on all that stuff, if we can say, okay, let's buy into that fact that maybe that's not the best thing to do. What does Arion do, and what do you preach about when it comes to those issues?
So as I shared with you, as an organization, we are, you know, Jason Kisau is our talent development leader, and again, he helps us internally as well as our clients, and you know, he's taking us through again 7 habits of highly effective people, and just a great book and timeless really in its principles. But you know, one of those initial chapters is on paradigms,
and paradigm shifts, right?
And I started thinking about you know, a paradigm shift with performance evaluations. And as I was reading some of our materials, we had a blog from Christy Smith, Senior Vice President of HR for Arion, and she quoted a research study that showed, by the Hay Group, showed that organizations with highly engaged employees generated 2.5 times the amount of revenue.
That's stunning.
2.5 times.
But you know, okay, 2.5 times the amount of revenue if you have engaged employees. So let's stop there for a second and define what's an engaged employee. What is that?
Yeah, and I love this definition because you know I lead our sales organization and you know the you know people always say you know people buy based on emotion, not
sure.
on
Absolutely.
You know facts or whatever. And so the definition of an engaged employee is an employee with an emotional attachment to the organization and its goals. So I mean goals are still relevant.
Goals are still relevant, but the overarching thing is the emotional attachment. In other words, I love my job because.
And I want to see the company succeed.
Right.
And probably I believe in what we're doing. It's an emotional attachment. It's a buy-in.
How do you get there?
You know, if we knew the answer to that, Michael, we wouldn't be talking on the radio. But so that's kind of that paradigm shift. So at this time, yes, we're going through our annual performance evaluations, and we do that a little bit differently. But at the same time, we've just completed our annual engagement survey. So we have an organization that comes in, and we had 85% participation. So 85% of our 200 and some 60 some people completed the survey. So
pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and that shows engagement there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And mm-hmm. and we have historically scored well, but we continue to improve. But the idea is that we've just recently reviewed these results, and so the paradigm shift is rather than thinking about how is the employee doing at their job, maybe we should be looking at our organizations and saying how are we doing as an organization? Are we creating a culture or an organization where our employees are engaged?
And that's turning the Queen Mary. I mean, if you're currently not having engaged employees, and if your culture in your business isn't that way, you can't just turn on the switch, can you?
No.
Yeah, so this is going to take a process. You know, Melissa Ness was talking about this very same thing. I hate to bring up the fact.
No, I'm glad she's doing great, of course.
But
you know, I'm just competitive.
I know,
you know?
Yeah. But she said the same thing, you know, about engaged employees, workplace culture really does take precedence as to the success of any small, medium, or large business, yeah?
Yes. I mean, so, you know, again, so if your objective is to have an engaged workforce, okay, so that's the beacon in the distance. That's the lighthouse that you're aiming the Queen Mary at, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, how you get there, I think, takes, you know, constant evaluation and feedback. So one of the things we've done really well, I believe over the last few years and maybe even longer, but the last few years is to not try to figure out things. Okay, we want to be engaged. We're going to do this. Well, why don't we go to the people we want to engage and say, hey, how could we, you know, create a better organization where we're all engaged?
So what you're doing is you're going to the employee as different from a top down, but, and I hate to say it, but bottom up, if you will, where employees are saying, okay, this is how I think we can become much more engaged in the goals and responsibilities of the business if we do this.
Yes, I mean, for us, wow. I think it started with, you know, our T3 committees, which I've mentioned before, and just I thought that was brilliant from Christy. But, okay, we decided we wanted to be a charitable organization. We decided we wanted to be a healthy organization. You know, we decided that we wanted to be an engaged organization. And so we created these committees and gave budgets and charters to them and said, okay, now who wants to be on the committee? And then here are the problems we're trying to solve.
Well, and the other thing, you know, everybody – any business can form a committee,
mm-hmm.
but if you give that committee autonomy and power to really solve some of these other issues or
and funding,
right, then you can move the ball in the right direction. Just to set up a committee, though, and not engage, and good work.
And now I think we've advanced that to, we have business problems every day. And so as we think about how do we solve those problems, you know, payroll's kind of the engine that runs through everything, but it touches every department in our company. And so if we make a change in one area, it's going to go downstream or upstream
sure.
with effects. So we've got to have a cross-functional contributions for us to solve any problem. So, you know, we've advanced that now to solving real business problems for clients. Through these cross-functional committees.
Now, there comes the real crux of this conversation. Arion HR has hundreds of clients all over the United States doing business with them, helping them navigate the minefield that is human resources. How do you get this idea of engaged employees to your clients? I mean, is that a conversation that you're having, or is it... or is it when the business out there whom you're serving says, you know, we're just not moving the ball. You know, we're just having some. Are they that open with you? And can you then effectualize this 2.5% growth?
Yes. And you know, it's a great question. You know, and not something that would be easy for us to get feedback on. So the answer to your question is absolutely. As much as we manage, you know, transactional HR things for our clients, and that's really, you know, a significant part of our value proposition because it frees up that leader to focus on things like culture and growth. I think that's kind of the key there is that we don't know your business
right.
and what the drivers are or your goals. You're the author of that. So what our HR business partners do is they say, okay, what are you trying to accomplish? What's important to you? And then here are these concepts and ideas and strategies that have either worked with other clients or worked at Arion HR.
Well, one of the things that to come back to this whole idea of engagement, and the reason I ask that question is this, if Arion HR employees are engaged in this company,
mm-hmm.
that would seem to tell me that they are also equally engaged in the success of your client companies.
And that's the most rewarding thing. I mean, we had a presentation last Friday, and I said, you know, I love what I do. We help small business owners, and we can see it. And it's the most rewarding job because, you know, you can see when you solve a problem for a business owner, you can see how it impacts their business.
So the fact is that if Arion employees are engaged in this company.
Yes.
The success means that they're also engaged in your client companies.
Absolutely.
That would have to be the key there. And if that's the case, then I guess, you know, helping business get a 2.5% increase.
Two and a half times. And so, you know, when I thought through this, I thought, okay, well, what are the elements
right.
of Arion HR's kind of engagement initiatives. And clearly Ann Berry and her HR team are going to have probably better answers than me. But, I'm a business guy, so I get it. So, you know, I think it starts with us with values and principles. And when Melissa met with you, she said, listen, we're a service-obsessed organization. I think what that means in this, you know, if you've got an engaged employee that cares about our organization, our goals, and quite frankly, our clients' organizations and their goals, then service obsessed has to be defined by the moment. And so I can say, you know, a typical organization, hey, Michael, answer that phone in 5.2 seconds. Does that create a service-obsessed organization? Or do I say to you, Michael, what is it? What's your challenge today? How can I help you? And then know that I've got the tools and resources to react to your need. And to me, that's these values and principles. So a value is this service-obsessed organization. And others like that where we're saying, hey, listen, these are the principles and values we use to solve client problems. Now, you're smart. You know the client better than I do.
Go to
you
work.
You apply that.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is just communication and transparency. So we talk about our values. We talk about our principles. We talk about our goals. And we share our results. How are we doing? Our objective here is how do we connect what everybody does? Everybody in the organization affects a client. How do we connect that to our goals? And if we can, if everybody in the organization can see how each activity ties to our success, again, I feel like we have, you know, everybody understands how important they are. We've talked about involvement, and then we have a constant feedback recognition program. So rather than the old performance evaluations where we don't talk about it for a year,
right,
and then I fill out a performance evaluation based on my last kind of 30 minutes. You know, we try to be pretty disciplined about, you know, weekly, hey, you did a great job. I'm going to give you recognition for thinking like an owner or being solutions oriented or being a team player. And we want to recognize throughout the year so that when it comes time for that performance evaluation, it's about, hey, you made significant contributions during the year.
You're dealing with facts that have been built up over the entire year as they apply to that person's job rather than, as you said, the past 30 minutes.
Wow. Right, and then, of course, our favorite thing is to celebrate.
Yeah.
So
gotta
I think that's
it.
An important part.
Got to do it. Ned Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, REI and HR, lots of stuff to chew through. 2.5 times.
Yeah, and so what I was going to mention is that our industry, so it is hard for us to measure, but our industry hired the association that all of our companies like ours belong to. They launched a study, and they interviewed clients, and they looked at financial results, and their number is that, and we applied it a little bit differently, but clients of organizations like ours, their revenues grow 6 to 9% faster than of people that don't use a company like ours. So, and my point in saying that, because, you know, we're not right for everybody, my point in saying that is that there is a direct correlation between best practices in HR and financial performance. And it's and there's several studies out there.
So. Absolutely. Ned Flynn, RI on HR, ladies and gentlemen, lots to chew through. We will have links to all of this up on our radio blog. Thank you.
Thank you, and I hope that my engagement with this interview is better than Melissa's, but I doubt it.
I'll send her a note. I'll ask
great,
her.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
Once again, that was Ned Flynn from Orion HR in to talk about engaged workers and how to get there. Good stuff. We really did appreciate having that conversation. Hope you did as well. All right, that wraps it up for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You need some original music for your project? We can hook you up. For all those folks, for Ned Flynn, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.